All right, so we want to have a little question answer time for these guys. Thank you very much. Ladies, how was it up here? Good, yeah, it was awesome downstairs. Just some really practical tools. So we want to, like I said, have some time of question answer. I'm going to lay some ground rules first, right? So we've done question answer time. Last conference we had was a parenting conference, and of course the nature of the questions come up. Hey, I've got this particular situation in my household with these kids. All right, so in these questions at a marriage conference, if you're going to ask a particular question about your marriage, make sure you lean over to your spouse and say, do you mind if I ask this question right now? Otherwise, it's like, you know, the wife starts asking a question, and really what happens is a big spotlight turns on the husband. Whom, you know, just like this light turns on. It's like, oh, what is she going to say? How is he feeling right? Just lean over. So we're going to assume that if you ask a particular question, that you leaned over to your spouse and you got permission to ask that, right? Men, women. So let's do that. A suggestion about maybe some of the nature of the questions might be that. I mean, if both of you guys want to ask that, that's great. Otherwise, you might have a question about something that Josh or Gina said. You want some clarification on it. Good opportunity to do that. Or maybe it's not something they said. Maybe you are looking for a practical application in their lives of how they live out something that they said. Maybe you really liked what they said, but you're like, okay, how does that now look in your marriage? So that those are the types of questions. And then just for the sake of recording, so I've got this right here. For the sake of recording, what I might do is I'm not decided yet whether we're going to post that. I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not we're going to post the question and answer time. Yesterday's messages are already online, by the way, so you can already find those. And today's will probably be online sometime tomorrow. So, but I'm on the fence about whether we're going to record this. But for the sake of recording, just so at least it's on the recording, I might repeat a question that you have. I might rephrase it or whatever. They've heard the question, and I might just give it a little synopsis just for the sake of the recording. Okay, I'm going to turn this microphone over to you guys. And I'll turn this one on. Josh was amazed by this right here. Okay, I'm turning. All right, so there we go. That is connected to our soundboard. Okay, so let's open it up to you guys. Who wants to be the first person to ask a question? Josh and Gina. Who threw up a hand back there? Was it? You'll do it. Josh, go ahead. Great. Okay, so the synopsis is husband comes home from work, and the tone is oftentimes set right away, and you're asking for practical suggestions on how to help with that, help basically set that on a good trajectory.
I mean, I think, first of all, men need to lead in that. So ideally, you come with your game face on, so to speak, and just be like, all right, I'm going to love and serve her. And that means maybe giving up your expectations as you come in, like of the way she should be or you hope she would be, and being gracious. But then vice versa, that, you know, wife would be gracious as well over what each other had with your day. I think the best thing is if you're not coming in with a record of wrongs of all the times that you have come home in a certain way, that's going to help. But premeditating forgiveness and grace, using that time to just disconnect from your day and focus on now on the next step. Not fully disconnect, because sometimes you want to just bring. Sometimes you need to really disconnect, because when you come home, you have you need to jump into her world in a way that you're just really need to get into her world. But sometimes you need to come home with just a lot of vulnerability to just say, "Hey, bring her into your day," and just to bring each other into each other's day, so it doesn't seem so separate. I think sometimes you can get into the, we're not on the same page when we get home on a day like that, because we're fostering a disunity and we're fostering a lack of oneness, because we're not letting each other in on each other's days. We're not letting each other in on each other's struggles and victories. And I think as much as you can share those from the get-go, right when you get home, I think that is helpful.
I think just even the verse about not looking to your own interest is a really big deal. I know that we'll have days where all of a sudden it'll, you know, the day will be wrapping up. Josh's office is upstairs in our house, so he'll come down and it'd be like, hey, do you know that the ice maker is broke? And do you know that Judah like almost sent me to the loony bin today? And do you know that? And that'll be our first conversation. And so then I just, like, instead of looking not to my own interest, but to his interest, this is a real story actually. So I'll go on about the ice maker and about how Judah almost sent me to the loony bin and so and so really needs help in math. And if I have to sit and listen to a kindergartner read at a snail's pace, I'm gonna just be done with homeschooling. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, by the way, how's your day? It's like, by the way, how's your day should be the first, you know, that it would have been helpful. I mean, all those things are probably good things for us to talk about, but the order was probably a little off. So that's just a little helpful hint.
And my helpful hint in that is be slow to speak. Don't say the first thing that comes to your mind, which many times I'll just like vent in frustration at her frustration, which is really helpful. But if I learn to just be quiet and think, okay, she obviously had a rough day today. So I'm going to die to myself and my need to have her hear about my bad day or my good day and jump into her world, because tonight is obviously not about me for sure. Like, I need to say how I can, I need to go into the mode of how can I save her day? If the damsel is in distress when I get home, it's time for me to put on my cape and save her. It's time for me to just say, okay, it's time. I gotta not think about me, even if I feel really like I had a crummy day. Which, you know, it's not irony that a lot of times when she has a hard day, you had a hard day. The devil doesn't want us to be in unity. There's strategic times that the devil attacks us, and we need to be aware of the devil's schemes and come in there and say, okay, how can I save her day? All right, I need to go talk to Judah. I need to fix the stupid ice maker. I need to, you don't need to have the kids read to you. I'll have them read to me tonight. And you know what? Maybe, and we didn't even get dinner started yet. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to go grab dinner and bring it home, or let's go out. You know, ways you can do that, whatever you can do. So.
Great. Anybody else? Yeah, Diane. Yeah, I won't be able to repeat everything you're saying. I'm actually going to hand you the microphone because it's not a question.
We've had this issue because at that time of day, if you're home with kids, you're exhausted and you're just like ready to throw in the towel and you're just waiting for your husband to come home and sort of take over because you've had it. You know, I mean, you're so tired by then. So, What we found out really helped for us is when I would, you know, complain or say these are my concerns, I wasn't necessarily looking for a solution all the time or someone to solve or you know, I mean, so doing things to help always will help. That'll be huge. But sometimes I just needed Rob to say, it sounds like you're really tired and frustrated because you've blah, blah, blah. You know, so just to acknowledge the feelings really like put the fire out. So I don't know if that's helpful to anybody, but I wanted to add that. And Rob got really good at that and it really helped us a lot. So that's it.
Thank you, Diane. So husbands, know your wives. What would be helpful when you come home? All right. Any other questions? Yeah, Angela. So the question is, you talked about, Josh and Gina, you guys mentioned kind of some rough times that you've gone through, but what were some of the things that actually, what was the revelation and the practical things that you did to help rectify that?
It was the hardest season of our life. It was the hardest year of our marriage. And big picture level, I mean, it'd probably take a long time to go into a lot of the details, but I just, at a big picture level, I think the first thing was just me taking responsibility for everything because I'm the man and not thinking of all the things that might have led up to this that she did wrong and blaming her. because all the things that she did do wrong leading up to this are my responsibility. I'm the head. And I had to take responsibility and say, okay, maybe I didn't lead her as well as I could have. Doesn't really matter. I need to lead her good now. I need to lead her well now. I need to take responsibility. She's not in the place that she was before, and so I need to step it up and take responsibility. So she got to coach her heart in this and lead her in this. Some of the areas, so she, going through a nursing home, basically, there was areas of anxiety that were sin. The Bible says, don't be anxious. Anxiety is a sin. That's what the Bible says, that she needed to repent of. And that I needed to help her and lead her into that and pastor her and coach her in that. And then there was just some things that are just the stress of life. First of all, she's married to me. This is very stressful. She's married to the things that I've chosen to lead our family in, which are very stressful. I have a full-time job apart from the church, planted the church, one of the leaders in the church, have other businesses we've done on the side, and a lot, and 7 children, 18 to 6. The life that we have and the life that we've chosen is very stressful, which has nothing to do with sin. It just has to do with life is hard and stressful and heavy. And separating those two is a big, important thing. Where there was areas of sin that needed to be repented of, and where there was just life that happened that we just need to deal with and look at how we could change our life just schedule-wise, how we can even look into how we can medically treat some of those things, how we can look into how we can spiritually treat some of those things, how we can look into how we can change whatever we need to do to address those issues that aren't sin, that are just the stress of life. And I also had to learn to be extremely patient. I'm an impatient person a lot of times, and this wasn't going to be a quick fix, and I couldn't just fix it. I had to just rely on the Lord. So those are some brief strokes from my point of view. You want to come in as well? That's it. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
All right, another question. Yeah, Lisa. Mom of Josh. All right, go ahead. Okay, so I'll repeat it. So a woman who loves her husband has her husband's well-being in mind. Is there a place to give her husband a break from some of the responsibilities that he shoulders?
That's a good question. Thank you, Mother. No, he doesn't get a break, and that's a good thing. Nothing better for a man to have weight on his shoulders. It's a very healthy thing. He doesn't get a break. Hold on one second. He doesn't get a break from his responsibility, but he needs a lot of help. And so he never gets the break from the responsibility, but he gets a lot of help in fulfilling that responsibility from the wife. Does that make sense? And never underestimate how much help a wife can give in that responsibility. But the actual responsibility, the one who's held accountable, the one who is the head, because God calls us the head, not because we're called to be the head, but we are the head, you can't not be that, because God calls us that. But a wife can bring a lot of help to that. That answer your question?
All right, another question? We got some time left here. Yeah. So the question is, you guys have a lot of responsibility. You have a lot of decisions, important decisions that need to be made, whether it's for schooling, job related, whatever. How do you guys work through making those decisions?
First of all, I'll tell you about how we did a really bad job of that. And that is, even when we moved to Kansas City, I made that decision because I thought it was what God was wanting us to do. And Gina wasn't totally on the same page with me. And I just thought, well, it's the Lord, so God will bring it around. That was really foolish. That was a foolish decision. If it's God that's causing you to make a decision to move, to homeschool, to go to send your kids to school, to start a business, to change careers, to move to a different house, if it's God that's leading it and speaking it, He is going to speak to both of you. He's going to lead both of you. And instead of me leading in a way of just like, all right, I'm going, and you just hang on to the back of the caboose. This train is leaving the station. Don't fall off. God, you'll be okay. God will take care of you, which is very insensitive of me. What should take place is, all right, this is where I believe the Lord is leading us. What do you think? Well, I'm not so sure about it. Okay, let's pray about it. Let's wait on the Lord about it. Let's seek the Lord about it. Are you willing to entertain it? And she needs to, because I'm leading, and when she does, we work it through and we seek God together, maybe fast and pray about it, maybe get counsel from other people about it. And that trust that the Lord is going to lead in that decision. Now, sometimes there are time-critical decisions that need to be made, and you might not have gotten to a place of consensus by the time that the decision needs to be made. If that's the case, you do whatever you can as a husband to listen to your wife, to be sensitive to hear all her concerns, get counsel from other people. That's fast and pray, seek the word of God, and then you make a decision. And you trust that it's going to be okay and that God's going to work it out, and you be humble enough to admit a mistake if a mistake is made. And then a wife needs to just trust and know that, you know what, we didn't come into consensus, but I'm going to trust that nobody in my life is more grace to lead me than this man. And I'm going to trust that God has given him the grace to lead me. I'm going to trust that he's going to work through this authority in my life in this decision because it's time sensitive, and I'm going to trust. And sometimes you do that, and you look back, and you think, well, I think we made the right decision. Sometimes you look back and think, yeah, that was the wrong decision, but we did the best we could, and we're not going to live in regret. And now let's learn from it. Mistakes are tuition for my ongoing education. So let's move on and learn from it. And next time we make a decision, we're going to take that into consideration. And we'll be able to comfort others with the comfort we received in the mistake that we made.
All right, another question. Are you clearing your throat for a question? No? Okay. All right. No, it's all right. Anybody else? All right. So let me ask a question. Maybe this will spur on other questions. Sometimes when a couple comes to a marriage conference, it's one spouse bringing the other. Right? They're going to drag the other along. Or sometimes when people are perusing online for marriage conference messages, it's one spouse trying to fix realizes there's a problem in the marriage, and they're trying to do that. So two-part question. What would you say to a woman who's married to a man who just absolutely does not want to lead? She wants to honor the Lord, but he doesn't want to lead her. And likewise, what would you say to a man who's trying to lead his wife towards the things of the Lord, but she has little interest?
So I read this verse in when just the ladies all got together. Let me find it here because I don't have it memorized. It's in 1 Peter 3. But basically, it talks about how a woman is able to, where is it? I can't remember. Basically, in 1 Peter 3, it talks about how a woman is able to win her husband over by her respectful and pure conduct. And that's a rough road. It's not an easy road, but it's simple in that the Bible is really straightforward, and that someone who doesn't believe the word of God, someone who doesn't, he may not even be a Christian. Maybe he is a Christian and he just doesn't believe some of the truths of God's ways. But a woman has great power in the fact that God's graced her to be respectful and have pure conduct. And that's, I don't understand how that always works. It doesn't feel like it always works. And I know a lot of situations where it doesn't seem like that is working, but God's ways always win out over our experiences, and it's really good to take that to the bank. So that is my, I know a lot of things that women really want to do, and they seem like really good things, and it seems like they honestly want some better things than their husbands even do. But there's something to being respectful, having pure conduct, and really doing things in submission with an honoring attitude that can steer the whole ship. I've seen it done. But even if we don't see it being done, the Bible says it. So
I think for a man who's trying to lead a wife who's not on board, I think the first thing to remember is it's a covenant, so you're in for the long haul. And to believe in the power of God, just even that verse that you talked about in 1 Peter 3, it says, "Let likewise wives be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see respectful and pure conduct." I think sometimes we underestimate the power of men being men and women being women to arouse the other person to be who they're supposed to be. There's something about when, as far as a man goes, we're supposed to love them as Christ loved the church. We love God because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And if we love God because he first loved us, and that's the job of a husband, to love his wife like Christ loved the church, we could trust that the same thing could happen in our marriage, that if we love first and we keep sacrificially laying down our life, that hopefully the expression of Jesus that we're manifesting and incarnating in our marriage will be attractive enough to cause her to submit to God first and foremost and then to the husband. But our hope, most importantly, I think, is to model Jesus as much as possible in that.
Thank you. That was great. Anybody else? Yeah, Rob. So the question is, what do you say to the Christian couple who's really close to divorce, and what have you said that where you've seen the kind of the result of bringing some type of repentance and a turning point?
Instead of dealing with it in a generic way, let me just give you a specific instance of a specific couple in our church recently. So there's a couple in our church that I married a few years ago, and we did premarital counseling with them. And after they got married, there was basically a subtle kind of form of adultery that crept in. Not that was acted on in a sexual way, but was emotional and was making choices that were leading in the wrong way, which really nosedived their marriage very quickly, to where literally we were looking at each other just thinking, oh my gosh, it was the first year of their marriage. And I'm thinking that there's a decent chance they're not going to make it through their first year still being married. And, it was actually one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time when it all was said and done. And here's a few highlights, I think, of what happened. So we're seeing this, and one of the things that I think was awesome is that, first of all, multiple people owned this problem in their marriage and just said, we are going to encourage them. And the elders of our church were almost in like an unofficial, unplanned rotation of just, I got together with them. Did you get together? And what'd you say? And we're just getting with them, coaching them, getting together with him on his own, getting in with her. Multiple people in the church are concerned. Our missional community together is praying for them. We had a bunch of people in the church who fasted together for only one reason, for their marriage. And we were doing that, us because of our involvement, we fasted other times just for them, constantly counseling them, being there for them, confronting the people who are in sin, sometimes taking, I know for sure with getting together with him, like a bunch of dudes getting around him and just like nailing him to the wall and just calling him out and say, bro, you need to step it up. You need to be a man. This is where you're not, and you are not alone. We are fighting for you. We are fasting and praying for you. What do you want to do, bro? You're going to fast? Like, he came to me one day. He said, hey, I think I'm going to fast and pray for our marriage. I said, all right, I'm in. How long are you doing it for? I mean, I didn't even know what I had in my schedule, but I'm just like, this is important. So he's like, I'm going to do it for a few days. All right, we're doing it. I rallied a bunch of other guys. We were all fasting and praying for him. Just kept seeking the Lord, just kept pressing in, and just like, it was not, it almost looked like it was getting worse for a while there, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this is not looking good. And what a sad thing. It's just it's their first year of marriage, and this adulterous thing is destroying their marriage, and just kept speaking into it. And now they openly share their testimony of their adulterous relationship in the first year of their marriage. They've done it in front of their parents. They've done it in front of other couples. They've done it in front of our church. And I think probably the biggest thing was just the church being the church and being desperate for God. It was just like, I mean, there were so many times I'm just like, I don't know, how do you fix a broken marriage? If anybody knew that, they'd be a really wealthy person. Second of all, like, there'd be a lot less marriage problems in the world. And it's just, it's messy. It's rough. But when the church is I guess, as I'm thinking about it, I think my biggest answer is the church being the church. So often the church isn't the church in that context. But when it is, I saw something there that I was just, like, blown away by. And the testimony is just so powerful, where they can literally, like, talk about it very openly, honestly, and give testimony of the saving power of Jesus, God's present power, to save them from the sin of adultery and the areas where their marriage is going to be broken. And it just made me want to be all the more zealous for the zeal for God's house just wants to consume me even more. To see God's church be the church it's going to be, because the setting for marriage is to be healthy and to not get into a state of divorce, ideally, is healthy church life. So I don't know, does that may help answer the question?
Thank you. We've got time for one more question, if you've got it. Anybody? John, go ahead. Okay, so the question is, what do you see as the greatest attack against marriage, and then the greatest weapon against that attack?
I would say the greatest attack against marriage is selfishness. There's a reason why if you go to a cemetery, nobody's fighting there, because they're all dead. And if you don't, and I think one of the greatest onslaughts of marriage is selfishness. We had a song sung at our wedding. Actually, didn't Jill help sing it, or you? And you were played guitar, I think, for it. One of the wedding we call the one of the songs we chose for our wedding is called "He Calls Me Come to Die." Very appropriate. But it's true. You have to. I think one of the greatest onslaught is selfishness. And the remedy is the cross, dying to yourself, and the only way to do that is through the power of the gospel. It's believing the gospel to save you. It's like Tim Keller says that marriage is like driving a big heavy truck over an old bridge. It doesn't cause the cracks; it exposes them. And if you're married and you don't see that you need God, you're one prideful person, all right? Marriage exposes cracks that you never thought that you have, but I'm so impressed the longer I'm married with the power of the gospel to save me, and I love Jesus and the gospel more every day when the cracks of my selfishness come to the surface after being married, and new cracks surface after being married even longer, and just says, and I'd have to say the same thing I said when I was 15 years old in Mexico and God saved me. I have to say, God, save me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved from my selfishness. I need to be saved from the penalty of my selfishness when I was 15, and now that I'm 39, I need to be saved every day in my marriage from the power of my selfishness. And there's no greater remedy, no greater good news than the power of the gospel, because God is mighty to save. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And no matter what selfishness I'm dealing with, she's dealing with, there is nothing that the power of the gospel, the good news of the power of Jesus Christ, cannot overcome in any sin that is in my life. Does that answer your question? And that's my opinion. Obviously, that's an opinion question. Anybody could give their opinion on what that would be. That would be my opinion.
That's very good. We will post this online. I think this has been very helpful. Let's go ahead and stand up together. Josh, I'm going to ask you to pray for us.
Father, we just give thanks. Lord, we give thanks for the hope in the gospel. Lord, here we are saying we need you, Lord. And that's the truth, Lord. We need you, God. We need you to save us from the power of our selfishness, Lord. We need you to save us, God, from the power of our sin. And we believe that you are mighty to save, Lord. And for those of us who are having a hard time believing that in our marriages, Lord, would you increase our faith? Lord, would you increase our faith in you and the power that is in you, Lord, that we would understand and know this power in a greater way because of this time together, this even prayer right now, Lord, that we together as a church could unite in prayer and believe that you are the giver of the gift of faith and that we could receive faith in this moment right now for our marriages, Lord. I ask, Lord, where there is unbelief, God, that you would convict us and lead us in your kindness to repentance, that as marriages, Lord, that we could enter into a place of faith that overcomes, that comes over our obstacles. Lord, we need you and your power to overcome the obstacles that are set at us each day. And I pray, Lord, not just for the overcoming of obstacles. Lord, would you bless the marriages that are represented here? Lord, would you go abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine in our marriages? Lord, would you blow us away and blow open our expectations and the ceilings that we put in our marriage and give us things that we can't even ask or imagine for our marriages? Lord, would you increase our faith in you and bring us into a place where we are trusting that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, like your word says. I pray for that kind of faith to go with us, that you would impart that faith to us as we go forth, and that you would put in us and put around us, oh God, a people, a church, Lord, whether it's this church or some other church in the city or wherever else people live, that you would put healthy churches around us to cultivate healthy marriages for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. And if maybe you had a question that you didn't want to ask publicly, you want to ask Josh and Jean. I know they're open to that. You can do that. Or maybe you want them to pray for you. You can stick around. Let's just hang out, talk to each other. I think there's still some food in the back or coffee, a little bit of coffee left. And let's just hang out with each other, talk to these guys. God bless, guys.